The establishment media claimed that nuclear power is dangerous and that by pursuing that energy option, we would be endangering all of humanity. But is that really true? Let's take a look. This is Beyond the Cover with your host, Gary Benoit. And today we have with us Ed Heiserot, who wrote a feature article for The New American in our August 15 issue entitled "The Future of Nuclear Power." Ed, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. Now, Ed, you're an aerospace engineer. You're the president of Controls and Power Incorporated. And you also wrote a book called Underexposed. What if radiation is actually good for you?
Well, there's a good case to be made for that.
And I think so, because when you read the book, how can you say otherwise? But Ed, a lot of people feel radiation is extremely dangerous. They don't want to have anything to do with radiation. And actually, a lot of people, the reason they're against nuclear power is because they fear radiation. So tell us how radiation can be good for us.
Oh, well, there's a term used for that. It's called hormesis, that a small amount of something that's dangerous to you is beneficial. I mean, there's zillions of applications or examples of that. One is vitamin A. If you take too much vitamin A, it can be fatal.
That's right.
The trace minerals, arsenic and things like that are necessary for a healthy life. But too much of them is dangerous. The same goes for radiation. Too much of it's dangerous, but there is a point at which there's an optimum, and we're below that optimum in our normal lives. We should have more radiation than we have to be healthy as it.
Now, how about somebody, Ed, who lives next to a nuclear power plant? Or maybe I should put it on a personal level. Would you mind living next to a nuclear power plant? And for the people who do live there, is the amount of radiation that they get from that plant, would that be dangerous or would it be good?
Well, that would be in the good level. Actually, you'd need more, because at the boundaries of a plant, of a nuclear plant, the maximum radiation that you is allowed is 5 milligrams. Which is about, we typically get 360 milligrams just from the background radiation, like from our own blood, from cosmic radiation. So typically we get 360 milligrams per year, and a plant is not allowed to produce more than 5 milligrams per year. So it's insignificant.
Yeah, and I knew that myself, actually, because when I was in college, there was one summer I worked at a nuclear power plant, and that was what the limitation was. But the establishment media, they love throwing around these numbers, don't they? And they make it sound like, well, my goodness, this could kill you.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, there's people that are deindustrializing this country and the world to destroy Western civilization. And that's one of the things I like to jump on, because there's so many good things about nuclear power that it would just, you'd never heard of a windmill or a solar type installation if nuclear power had been given its head.
Now, your book, Ed, Underexposed, I know was a hit in the scientific community, and this might be a speck embarrassing to you, but nonetheless, I think it'd be worthwhile for our readers to hear some of the accolades about the book. Could you mention a couple of people who review the book very favorably? And also, I know the book has been printed in foreign languages. How many languages has it been printed in?
Just two, Dutch and French.
Okay, well, in English, that's three.
Yeah, that's right.
But the Heartland Institute, for example, loved the book.
Well, we could easily spend a half hour on the book, but I think we ought to talk about small modular reactors, since that's
Okay.
what the
Well, we do
proposal is
want to get to that, but I think it's important for the viewers to know that we're talking to an expert on the subject. You know, somebody who has really researched this and has done a book that, if people were to read it, who are anti-nuclear power, and they're willing to read it with an open mind, it would change minds. There's no question about that. So we really appreciate, Ed, that contribution you made via the book to the freedom movement, because nuclear power really provides freedom, doesn't it, in terms of energy independence.
Absolutely.
Right. But let's, as you said earlier, let's talk about these small modular reactors, or SMRs. What are these all about?
Well, let's define the acronym. SMALL means, in this case, up to 300 megawatts of electrical power. That's about a third of what a normal size nuclear plant produces. If you can get smaller than that, instead of an SMR, there's an MMR, which is a micro modular reactor.
Right.
And then they go down even smaller than that. They're called like a mini micro, which is only about a thousandth of what a normal power plant is.
Right. Now, what would be the benefits, Ed, of these small reactors?
Well, for one thing, it is the fact that you can put the reactor where the need is. You don't have to build a whole 1,000 megawatt plant at one time. You can build, say, 300 or 200 milliwatts, or whatever that you're looking for. It's,
right.
And that lets you not have to have a huge construction cost come up and then try to pay that off. You can tailor it to the market. For instance, instead of having a whole 1,000 megawatts, you could have a couple of 200s and a 500 or a 300 rather, and scatter them around close to where the load needs to be, where the load is.
Right. So obviously it's going to be a lot less expensive. It's going to be closer to where the load is. But how about the national power grid? Yeah, because I know that is a legitimate concern. What if something happened to the national power grid? So do you see these small reactors as providing a benefit in terms of less reliance on the grid?
Absolutely. There would be just hundreds of them as it's envisioned, and each one of them is independently operated. Contained. If we're going to define the term, the small is the amount of megawatts, which is 300.
Right.
The modular is the fact that it can be put together with other ones, that you can essentially put multiple SMRs together as needed. You can factory build them, which is a lot. You have a lot better quality control in the factory than you do stick building in the field. And you can ship it by truck or barge.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of having to do everything at the plant site, you just would be shipping the pieces and parts and putting them together. When you
Right. So you could use a small modular reactor, for instance, to power a community or maybe power a large factory.
Yeah, in fact, I had an example here for just a second ago about what it looks like when you're powering a small factory. The Department of Energy says that a typical manufacturing facility uses 95 kilowatts of electricity per square foot per year and 536,000 BTUs of natural gas, and if you took a plant, a manufacturing plant, for instance, it was a half mile on each side, then you would have a factory floor of 7 million square feet, which would be a pretty good size factory.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like an auto factory. And to power a factory like that, you would need like 200 megawatts. which is just a medium-sized SMR.
Right. Now, I believe in your article, you mentioned a town in Alaska, and they wanted to get one of these small modular reactors to power that town. And, of course, in Alaska, you're dealing with such vast areas, it's not practical to, you know, have these transmission lines running across the tundra. But they were unable to do it. Can you explain why? And it wasn't technology, was it? But it was politics, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Actually, I wrote an article for the new American. I think it was in 2004 or 2005. Mm-hmm. No, 2006. The incident happened in 2003 when Toshiba came to Galena, Alaska, and offered to give them a power plant. I think this was 30 megawatts, I think what it was. Mm-hmm. Power Galena, which has to barge their diesel fuel in once a season, and then the channel freezes up. So it's very, electricity is very difficult to obtain when you're out in the woods like that. So Toshiba offered to build the plant and turn it over to Galena. Well, the problem was it was so difficult to get it licensed that the city couldn't afford the licensing requirements. And we're learning now why that's the case. And we found out that the Nuclear Regulatory Committee is often trying to regulate nuclear power out of business. We have some, it's just a microcosm of our society that Nuclear Regulatory Commission is.
So it's fair to say that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is anti-nuclear power.
Yes, it is.
And they're blocking the development of these small modular reactors within the United States. But how about other countries? Can you point to examples where these small reactors are actually being developed and deployed?
Well, Russia has a ship that has 2 35-megawatt reactors on it. They consider that a small modular reactor, but they've been in service for 2 years. China has two of them in service and one getting ready to get them into service. And those are the only small modular reactors there are in the world. Our closest, in the United States, there's a company, NuScale, which is very close to building one in Utah. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be a couple of years. And it's fighting the Nuclear Regulatory Commission all the time. It's just a terrible thing for our nuclear program, because the enemy is not at our doorstep. They're inside.
Right.
And it's going to get worse in a way. There's a man named Bradley Crowell, who has been a lawyer for the National Resources Defense Council. And if you've heard of them, they're in the same league as Greenpeace. They're totally anti-nuclear. Well, they're anti-everything Western civilization, actually. They're one of the most dangerous organizations in the country, for sure. And Crowell has been appointed by President Biden to be on the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. So how do you think he's going to be voting for? One of the things they do is extend the life of reactors, because when they built them, they thought 40 years was going to be the lifetime of a reactor.
Right.
And now they're adding 20 and 20, another 20, they're continuing because they're so efficient and well engineered that they just last a lot longer than they were expected to. Needless to say, people like Crowell will say, no, you can't extend that. You're going to have to shut that plant down, because their interest isn't in nuclear power. Their interest is in destroying our civilization.
Right. There's no question about that. And of course, that gets outside what we can cover in a short interview. But the evidence is certainly overwhelming that there is a deep state. There are deep staters who are working for the destruction of the United States. And part of that, of course, is to cripple our energy supplies. But Ed, one final question. Are you hopeful that the politics can be changed at some point, that the policies can be changed, and that these small modular reactors can be developed in a big way in the future?
I think they can eventually. Let me give you an example. There are about 1,400 coal-fired plants in this country. Mm-hmm. It represents about 28% of the energy that we use. Well, the average age of those is 57 years. The average life of a coal-fired plant is 40 to 45. So you can see what's happening right there, that we're getting ready to have a drought of coal plants because they're all being shut down. But what do we replace them with? Of course, the left wants them replaced with windmills and solar panels, which we know is just a total farce. It's,
right.
It's totally impossible. But to imagine probably one of the best uses of the SMR is to replace those coal plants, because you have the advantage that the cooling system, the turbine, a whole lot of the parts to the power plant are already there, and they could easily be transferred to being driven by the SMR rather than a coal-fired boiler. That's a terrific application for the SMR. Is just essentially plant them where the coal-fired plant is being plowed under, and we need to do that. We need to do it in a hurry.
Right.
Coal-fired plants are going down in a hurry.
And of course by design.
Oh yeah.
Ed, thank you so much, and of course we encourage our viewers to read your article, "The Future of Nuclear Power," in the August 15 issue of the New American Magazine, and we'll have a link in the description to this video that people can click on to see your article. Thank you, Ed.